There's a difference between being a professed disciple and being a true disciple. We want to be focused upon being a true disciple. And it's interesting to me that in Luke chapter 14, he brings this up three times in a relatively short period of time. Verses 25 and 26 of Luke 14 reads, "Now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.'" First reading of that, we might have the impression that maybe Jesus misspoke there. It certainly can't mean that you have to hate the members of your own family and even hate your own life. He's not speaking in literal terms, but he is speaking in relative terms. We must love Christ more than we love anyone or anything. In John 21 and verse 15, we read, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said, 'Feed my lambs.'" We are to love Jesus more than we love anyone or anything. This morning we talked about how that we can set up idols in our hearts. So this is a continuation, really, of what we talked about this morning and kind of developing farther on it and encouraging us to recognize the seriousness of being a true disciple of Christ. You drop down to verse 27 of Luke 14, and there we read, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." We must bear our cross and count the cost of being a follower of Christ. He continues here in verse 28 and explains what he means by bearing our cross to come after him. You'll notice that the first word says "for." So in explanation of bearing your cross, he says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet he who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace." Jesus, by saying that we are to bear our cross, he's really saying to us, count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of mine. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 38 and 39, he makes it plain. "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We have to lay down our life for Christ. Our life of living for me, living for self, living for what my will is. We need to lay that down. Crucify that man of sin so that we might live for Christ. Verse 33 of Luke 14, he goes, "So likewise, whosoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Does Jesus realize that he's asking an awful lot of us? Yep. When he asks us to love him more than we love anyone or anything, when he asks us to bear the pain of denying self and denying others, does he realize what he's asking of us? Yeah. Do we realize what, if we could have asked of God to pay the price for our sins? Have you ever thought about that? God didn't ask us if we wanted him to send his son to bear the price of our sins and his death. He did that because he loved us. He did that while we were sinners. Not when we were righteous or even when we wanted to repent. Was it painful for God? Was it painful for Christ? Yes. Does Jesus say, I realize that this is difficult? Yes. But yet he came to this earth, and I think about this so often, he came to this earth that he might know in person what it means to face the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, to experience that himself. He was in all points tempted as we are, but he did not sin. And so when we think about loving Christ more than anyone or anything, and bearing our cross and forsaking all so that we might follow him, he knows what he's asking of us. He's experienced that. And the way that he did it was because he didn't focus upon himself, but he focused upon his Father and wanting to live in a manner that would glorify his Father. And that's the way we can be a true disciple of Christ. These are not things that we could do if we wanted to be a disciple of Christ. He says these are things we must do to be a true disciple of him. Love him more than anyone, more than anything. Bear the difficulty and the pain, if you will, of forsaking all for him. And indeed, make that decision to do so and to follow him. For he did it for us. In addition to what we find there in Luke, we turn over to John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 32. Familiar passage to us. And you probably thought, well, yeah, this will come up because we talk about this all the time. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." To be a true disciple of Christ, we must abide in his word. We must live in his word. We must live by his word. We must live, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." And we hear for the purpose of learning and trusting and doing what he teaches us from his word. In 2 John verse 9, John wrote, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ." Is there any difference between the doctrine of Christ and the word of Christ? Shake your heads this way. No, there's no difference. There's no difference. The doctrine of Christ is the teaching of Christ, and Christ teaches us through his word. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If we hope to be in fellowship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. To be a disciple indeed, to be a true disciple, as he says here in John 8 and verse 31, we must abide in his word. Same thing. Same instruction. In John 13, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another." Now notice, "by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And so I appreciated especially the song that was led at the beginning of our worship this evening, "Wonderful Story of Love." And indeed it is a wonderful story of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts and obeys him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, it is a wonderful story of love that Christ loved us so much in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. But it is a wonderful story of love that continues. For those who are his true disciples, love one another as Christ loves us. What kind of love is that? Well, it's a sacrificial love. It means we're willing to give of ourselves, of any part of ourselves, to help one another, to encourage one another. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, we read, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but as you love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord." And who is God? What is God? What did John record in 1 John? God is love. The God we serve today is the God they served under the old law. Why would God tell the children of Israel to love their neighbor as they love themselves? Because to be a child of God, we have to love one another and have love for one another. In John 15 and verses 12 and 13 through 13, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Love one another as I have loved you. So it's a sacrificial type of love. It's not just an expression of "I love you," but it's a love that is demonstrated by taking time and making time for one another. "A new commandment I give to you." Yet, it wasn't new, was it? God had stated that to the Jews in Leviticus. Love one another. But the extent of loving one another. Love your neighbor as yourself, is what Leviticus said. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. It's a new measure. It's a new measure. Even being willing to die for each other. To be a true disciple, have we really learned what Jesus has taught us? To love our neighbor sacrificially and to love our enemy sacrificially? And that puts into perspective these first three points that we noticed, doesn't it? Forsake all to follow me. Forsake the might makes right kind of attitude. Forsake pride. Forsake self. Bear your cross. It's not always easy to love your enemies. It's not even always easy to love your neighbors or to love your brother. Bear your cross. Follow me. Love me more than anyone or anything. He goes on to say here in John 15 and verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Do you want to be a friend of Jesus? Jesus is actually saying, lay down your life for me. Lay down your life for me. Lay down your life of sin. Lay down your life of self. Lay down your life of what you think and what you feel, and lay that down and follow me. Lay down your relationship with your family member who refuses to abide in the doctrine of Christ and follow me. That's hard. Jesus knew it was going to be hard. But he says, if you want to be a disciple of mine, a true disciple, this is what is required. You see, the idols of our heart are not always tied to covetousness. Many times they're just tied to self. Sometimes we just covet ourself. We covet our time as if it's our time instead of saying, no, my time belongs to God. All that I have belongs to God. In John 15 and verse 8, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we must bear fruit. Indeed, we must bear much fruit. If we say that we abide in Christ and abide in His Word, abide in the doctrine of Christ, then it should be evident by the life that we live that we are doing the things that we are taught from His Word. 2 Peter 1 and verses 5 through 8, that's why we read passages such as this. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If these things are yours and abound, that goes right along with bear much fruit, doesn't it? Keep bearing fruit. You have faith. What standard of faith do you have? Do you compare yourself to one another as the Corinthians did, and thereby not being wise? Or do you compare your faith to that of Christ, who totally and completely and sacrificially trusted and obeyed his Father? Add to your faith virtue. Strive for excellence in your faith. That's going to take knowledge of his word. And a knowledge of his word is going to require self-control to say no to the things that God wants us to say no to and say yes to the things that God wants us to say yes to. And it's going to require perseverance. We need to keep doing that. We need to keep practicing what God teaches us and striving for excellence in it. That'll change us. As we persevere in that, we will develop that characteristic of godliness, of being more like God. And as God is love, so we will be love. As God is faithful, we will be faithful. As God is pure, we will be pure. As God is holy, we will be pure. And we will be holy as God is holy. To your godliness, brotherly kindness, love your neighbor. And to your brotherly kindness, love. Love your enemy. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever think about it this way, but you know, sometimes our enemy is ourself. We are our own worst enemy. When we try to justify our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, realize that God knows that you can do it. You can reject those things that he tells us to reject and embrace those things he has told us to embrace. If these things are yours and abound, you will not be unfruitful, but you will be full of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very similar to that, Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means live in the Spirit. What's he saying here? If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. I think what he's saying is if you have convinced yourself that you are living in the Spirit, if you would mentally, subconsciously say to your spirit that you are abiding in the Word of God, therefore you are living in the Spirit, then your walk of life should display that too. That your love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control is evident to yourself and to those around you. Jesus came to glorify his Father. And if we are going to be a true disciple of Jesus, then we want to glorify the Father too. And Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Is a little bit of fruit enough? Can we say that we're striving for excellence in our faith if we're satisfied with a little bit of fruit? No, we can't honestly say that, can we? Bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Love one another sacrificially. Abide in His Word, the doctrine of Christ. Forsake all that is against Him and what He teaches us. Bear your cross. It will be difficult, but bear your cross with joy and hope. Love Christ more than anyone or anything. And be a true disciple of Christ. We are here tonight because we claim to be disciples of Christ. Our discipleship has been examined. Our personal discipleship has been examined tonight. Maybe we've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We're honest with ourselves. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another that you might be healed. We're all here to help each other, to edify each other, to build each other up. If you're here tonight and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ on your behalf, please let it be known. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?